Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
So to jump into our conversation, welcome to yet another installment in our Make It Practical segment. We are looking at the theme patient or passive this week. And today we want to identify the spiritual sloth so that we can deal with it much better. In our conversation, it might be a bit uncomfortable, right? Because we're talking about the thin line between peace and procrastination. Yeah, it's important to have it. It is incredibly easy to dress up our fears, our indecision, our laziness, even in religious language. We say, I'm just waiting for a clear word because we don't want to get the work done. Or you say, I'm waiting for a peace on this item. When in reality, you're just afraid of the work and the potential that's going to come in for failure if you go ahead with this thing. This inactivity isn't trust. It's a hiding place. And I think it is worse than the lack of faith. But how do you tell the difference between this inactivity and actual patience and actual waiting on the Lord? How do you know if you're being spiritually sensitive or just spiritually stuck? So join us in conversation as we discuss together. And guiding us in this discussion this week is our sister Andile Mutsonga. Ma'am, good morning to you. Welcome.
Thank you, Brother Derek. Thank you so much. It's great to be here. I hope you're well.
No, we're doing blessed. The Lord is keeping us. Thank you so much. And trusting that we find you well as well on this Wednesday.
Yes, very well. You know, the first thing I heard you say when I logged into radio was the love that abides.
Yeah.
I knew that it's going to be a good day.
Yeah.
We've closed the agenda. We've opened it and we've closed it and let's go.
Go with that, right? Indeed. Well, yes. Thank you so much. So thank you once again for being with us as we study together here. Sadly, we missed our previous conversation. Let's just maybe take a quick 3-4 minutes to jump into the summary of what that lesson was about that we missed yesterday.
Yes. So yesterday we wanted to just delve in a bit more as well on the waiting room, actually.
Okay.
We wanted to get into the waiting room. And what I really believe is important for us to grasp so that we know that the deception, so that we have a safeguard against any deception that can speak to us, you know, is to know the waiting room. What is the waiting room? What does it look like? What am I waiting for?
Okay.
And it's really to be very descriptive. So yesterday on Monday, I love models and patterns that the Bible gives us because it just helps me to be very structured in my thinking. So we spoke about the pattern of prayer. So that helps us to answer some basic questions as who am I waiting for? Where are they? Why am I waiting? How am I waiting? What exactly am I waiting for? And with whom am I waiting? When? Is there a timeline to this waiting? So as we talk about it more and more, it becomes clear to us that we know what it is that we're waiting for, right? Jesus is the word of God. The very point at which we cannot misunderstand him or misinterpret him is at the level of his word. So the more we know and we describe and we speak, the more we have our thoughts right in front of us and like, oh, this is what I'm waiting for. So the model that I like to really introduce us to the waiting room so that we know where are we even waiting is a model called the pattern of the tabernacle. And I'm not going to use it for any other purposes other than to talk patience and to talk knowing the waiting room. Because just at a glance, when we are waiting in the tabernacle, I heard you earlier talking about Don't be a tourist in your own life. Be an architect. So we get to know our environment, our waiting room. I know what is here and what happens here. I know what happens with the fire, what happens in the labor. I know what happens in the showbread. I know what happens here. I'm familiar with my waiting room. And I know why am I here, and I know what am I doing here. I know who's responsible, who's working here, who's ministering here. So we've got to know and be very familiar with the environment and know our service as well. What is my responsibility for being here, even as I'm waiting? So that is really what the summation of what I wanted us to talk about yesterday, to say, as we are waiting, let's wait knowing that we are learning. We are familiarizing ourselves with the environment in which we find ourselves in, so that we are not tourists, so that we actually are able to take others on a tour when they come into our lives. There are a few accounts in the Bible where there are some tourists who came. One such example is in King Hezekiah. There are some people from Babylon who came, and King Hezekiah showed them, you know, his glory, and in a way that didn't please the Lord, because he didn't glorify God, right? And there are many such instances. So when when we begin to know our own environment, our own waiting room, and how we are able to take someone else on a tour in our waiting room, then we know, we say, okay, am I glorifying God here as I'm waiting, or I'm not glorifying God? I'm waiting for my own agenda. So let's know our, let's speak about it as you are waiting. Don't be quiet and think you're just waiting for what is in your head, for your thoughts. Speak about it so that your thoughts are right in front of you. Like Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, I've come to show you your mind. So we've got to speak about it, because sometimes our thoughts inside, they need to be checked and tested.
Perfect, perfect. And let's use that point to then segue into today's conversation, where we are trying to identify and deal with the spiritual sloth, right? To say, when does this idea of waiting and being in the waiting room and waiting for our portion and our peace become an excuse to avoid a difficult conversation, a difficult task, a difficult engagement, going out there and actually doing something? Can we tell the difference, or everything is waiting for peace?
Yeah, absolutely. So peace has its origin in the spiritual realm. It cannot be created by a human. So already in its nature, we know that because peace is spiritual, and just like the nature of all spiritual things, they are given. So if peace is given to us, it means it cannot be taken by a human, or the absence of the presence of the human. So in essence, what I'm trying to say is that we've got to know and test every spirit. So if I, in my mind, think I'm waiting for peace, I have to test that and vet that peace that I'm waiting for. Is it really peace? Because if I think I'm waiting for peace, but I'm really allowing an excuse to masquerade in my life, that excuse will, excuses are not stable. You know, we will find ourselves oscillating between the far north and the far south. And as soon as you sort of just test your, be still and just test your own position to say, am I oscillating? Do I wake up one day having changed my mind about my plan, my vision, my strategy, what I'm waiting for? And then the next day it changes again. And it's just a swing. Then clearly I have an excuse. Then what we then need to do is to constantly describe what it is that I'm waiting for. I love this, the book of the Song of Solomon's, where there's a conversation between, oh, beloved, no, my love. It's so descriptive, you know. My beloved knows the eyes, his eyes, his cheeks, his his teeth. You know, do you know what his teeth look like? Do you know what his cheeks look like? Do you know his chest? Do you know his arms? Do you know his legs? Do you know his voice? Do you know his tone? What does it smell like? It describes everything. So we have to know and test every spirit. And this is exactly what the book of Revelation also say. Know him, know his hair, his head, his hair, his voice. Even if you don't see him, what does his voice sound like?
I wanted to follow that up as well. This idea of then not be making excuses, to say, but sometimes it can actually be genuine, right? Where you find, one once said, the one of the most challenging of decisions is knowing when to keep holding on or to let go, right? To say, how do you know when to say this is a closed door from God? It's not just a waiting room. It's a door that's locked and I'm never going to get access into it. Or it's a hurdle that I'm meant to jump, right? So to know that at this door, I must wait because God's going to open. Or this one here is one I must just move on from. I don't even need to waste patience on this point right here. How do I know the difference? How do we distinguish?
Yeah, so we established on Monday that our waiting is waiting on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's not waiting on any other agenda. So it's waiting on the Lord. And so we've got to know the Lord. And we've got to know what he has said, right? At the level of his word. So, and our waiting then tests what he says all the time. So we should always surrender ourselves to going to ask him. Ask, is this the door? Is this the one? Are we there yet? When are we going to get there? What will it look like when I get there? You know, so some of the things we cannot hypothesize them and say, this is what it will happen. This is what it will look like. But at the time when it happens, you will know, because the relationship to inquire at the temple is actually quite strong. So we've got to submit ourselves to asking the Lord each and every time. Mm-hmm. There's a point in time where Moses, where the Lord says to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to move. There's a point in time where even King David asked the Lord in 2 Samuel chapter 5 to say, when he was up against the Philistines had come to him. And the Lord gave him a victory strategy. He implemented it and was in victory. The second time, exactly the same scenario, God gave him a different strategy. So without us going to the Lord and asking case by case, not using yesterday's strategy to win today's scenario, always, every day, go to him and get to know his voice. Then we get to know, so this is the door. Okay, this is not the door.
Yeah.
So that's our exercise. And we cannot take mine and my testimony and make it somebody else's testimony. My testimony is simply to say, when you ask the Lord, he will also tell you exactly what is tailor-made for you in that scenario. So I know the waiting and patience thing. Sometimes we feel like we can just download a book that will tell us what to do when, but rather not hypothesize it, make it a live experience to say, Lord, in this scenario right now at 7:34, what is the answer? Not what will be the answer tomorrow at 7:34. What is the answer now at 7:34 for the situation that is at hand?
In scripture, I'm sure there are examples of these things we're mentioning today. Is there something we can offer the people to hold on to? I mean, especially from the consequences side of things, from people who failed to act when the moment arrived, or kept waiting and thinking, God, no, I'm still waiting on you. is there something of that? And can we garner some lessons from such points?
Yes, the example of someone who really displayed such diligence in just taking time to know what he's waiting for is John the Baptist. He knew that I will see him, the one whom the Spirit, upon whom the Spirit will land. He is the one, you know. So I don't know how he actually said this is how the Spirit lands, but he took diligence to say this is how it happens. And Isaiah 37 verse 3 says, King Hezekiah says, this is a day of trouble. This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It says when the time comes and you are sleeping and you are lazy and you are caught unaware, that is the day of trouble, rebuke, and blasphemy. When you start blaming someone else, when you start feeling like you're under rebuke, you are in trouble, it's because you may not have taken time and the diligence to get to know what we ought to know. So when the time comes, we will know. When the time comes, we will know. When we find that we are experiencing trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, like the book of Revelation tells us that they will blaspheme, it's just a reflection of not being ready. You did not wait, preparing to hear him, preparing to fill the oil, your lamps with oil, preparing to just know his word. What did he say? And the Bible says that there's only the only reason for persecution and tribulation is the word. So tribulation comes on account of the word. So everything points to the word that I have received. If I do not know this word, I will never be able to stand against persecution, because persecution doesn't come because of my qualifications, my age, my mistakes, where I stay geographically or historically or any other advantage. It comes because of the word I've received. So we've got to make our election sure and know what it is that I'm called to, and what is the word that I have received from God that I am waiting on. It's only just being preoccupied with knowing that, and all the persecution will even come and pass, and you will not even notice that, oh, okay, there was war here, because I'm so busy wanting to know God through his word and the word that he's given me.
I want us to wrap up this lesson. And I like the connection emphasis that you're bringing across to say, if you're connected to God, you will hear him speak to you.
Yes.
But unfortunately, that's not the experience of many of us. Many of us have experienced silence from God. And maybe let's talk a bit about that silence, to say, could it be that God is silent sometimes because we've made it a habit of not going out in his instructions, that maybe God stops speaking because he's waiting for us to act on the last thing he said to us, we haven't acted? Could that be that sometimes we're waiting for patience to receive, but yet God is not going to respond in that area of life because he's saying, but wait a minute, I spoke to you and I spoke to you and I spoke to you and you have done nothing. Why must I keep speaking if you've made it a habit of yourselves to not do anything with my word? Could that be something that we need to concern ourselves with?
Brother Derek, an analogy that I like to use in describing how God speaks to us, in the tone and the volume even, and it's to use the state of water. So there's a vapor, there's mist, and then there's water, there's liquid, and then the solid. In the Garden of Eden, we hear about the mist. Just watering the garden. And that's, for me, is the most ideal manner in which we all ideally would like to hear from God, where he just continually keeps us hydrated and keeps us in the light and in the knowing and in the hydration of just our environment. You know, we are always supple, we can always hear him. But then God, through his mercy, he's also able to speak to us as in the form of rain, you know, where... Because when rain comes, it cannot be continuous, you know. Otherwise, it gets in the business of things, you know. But it's still the water. And then there's another scenario where there's now hail and stones. Nobody really wants water in that form. I liken that to how God speaks to us, to say, he doesn't want to get to the point where he has to give us water in the form of stones. But when we don't want to hear him speaking to us, In whilst the mist is watering the garden, it may need to get to the point where we get to experience his blessings in the form of stones coming down. And he doesn't want to do that. So when we keep not wanting to hear him through his word, which is the purest and the way that he has wanted us to begin, you know, at his word, he may actually be keeping us from saying, I don't want you to have to go through and the experience of being, you know, rained on, flooded on, or being hailed, hailstoned on. So hear me the way that I have is the safest and most enjoyable experience for you to walk with me in the garden in the form of just mist continually hydrating you without interrupting your coming in and your going out. So we've got to really hear him in the form of his word, that where we can hear him walking. I personally just said, God, I don't want to have to stop and fast when I have to hear you. I want to hear you as I walk. I want to hear you when I eat. I don't want to have to stop and say, okay, I have to stop so that I can hear God. I have to hear him as I walk, as I go, even as I run, as I fly, you know. And the only environment and the form with which to hear him is in the mist. You know, when he's the water that's just hydrating my system as the mist.
Beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff, and a wonderful way to wrap up our lesson. I like that. I'm reminded of Deuteronomy, where Moses says, I put before you life and death. You can't choose the other one. You can't receive instruction from the other one. But the instruction or the counsel is to say, choose life. That's always better. Yes. That's always better for you. So, Sandy, thank you so much for your lesson. May God bless you. Until we chat again tomorrow.
Thank you so much. God bless you as well and the listeners. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And that's how we wrap up our study. Don't forget, you can still interact with us. We want to hear from you.
Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.